welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture, and this is a directive that Jesus gave his disciples. He said, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Okay? And so we can see here clearly, and I kind of have it front and centered and highlighted, the word deny. Okay? Deny himself. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is such a big word because as we grow up spiritually and we talk about different areas of walking in the Spirit, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and overcoming stuff in our life, we all experience this phenomena where we're trying to walk by faith according to the Word of God, but we've got these, you know, conflicting forces that are warring against our mind and our feelings and different things like that. In one place, the Apostle Paul said, man, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. So you can't do the things that you would, all right? So there's this inflection point as we're living for God where there's stuff we'd like to do but we can't do. And Jesus deals with it front and center, says, deny. Deny. Now, this can be difficult. I'm not even just talking about the world and the church contrast, but I'm talking even within the church. There can be issues as far as permission to deny yourself, because it doesn't feel good to deny yourself, all right? And typically, if somebody sees you denying yourself and they don't get it, they're going to throw the flag and say, denial. You're in denial. Well, there can be a sense that you can be in denial, and it's a bad thing, where you're ignoring things or just not dealing with stuff. But there's also a denial that's scriptural, that's godly, that's commanded by our Lord. In fact, if you've got a red letter edition, this is probably in red in your Bible right here. There is a good denial, but there's a bad denial. So this morning, I just really want to draw this distinction, and we're simply talking about good denial and bad denial. Because we have these inflection points as we're dealing with stuff and we're going through things. Now here we're seeing two different, this is both representing denial, two completely different postures. There is a denial that you can see almost kind of in the form of a resisting a no, and there's kind of another denial of just kind of burying your head in the sand and hoping that thing goes away. They're both forms of denial. But here, this is where we got to be careful, and this is where I want to stay scriptural, biblical, because sometimes you can get in the realm of the emotions and the touchy-feely, and we feel like we have to put this emotional responsibility on ourselves to have to feel a certain way for it to be God. And you don't. There's going to be some denying, all right? In fact, that lady right there and that ostrich, I'm just kind of, if I could personify the ostrich for a second, whatever is coming at them, you can see something's coming at her and something's coming at the ostrich. Emotionally, they could feel very similar. Emotionally, they're just responding to it in a different way. So there's good denial. There is Jesus commanded denial, right? But then there's bad denial. And what we want to do is, as you're navigating this, because when you're dealing with something and your emotions are stirred up, it is so tempting to want to feel sorry for yourself. Good denial gives you permission to feel yucky without having to go into self-pity. Gives you the ability to stand up to yucky feelings and not have to feel sorry for yourself, but to say, this is good denial. Stuffing, are you stuffing and stuffing going to blow up? We're going to get into that. We're going to get into the difference between bad denial and good denial. Scriptural, godly, blessed denial. That we've got to be able to distinguish between the two. Because sometimes you're going to feel like yuck, and that's okay. Because it's going to be part of good denial. But What steadies us? What keeps us in those times of yuck? What's keeping that lady as she's doing that? She's feeling something, but she's doing something in the face of feelings, okay? So that's kind of in a gist where I want to go this morning, drawing that distinction between good denial, bad denial. And as we do it, we're going to kind of talk about what this good denial does, what it looks like, and then we'll contrast bad denial in there as well, too. But as we're talking about good denial, bad denial, first thing that we got to realize that good denial honestly confronts. Good denial doesn't run away from anything. In fact, the scripture is pretty clear. You know, Jesus says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh is what we referred to before. They're contrary. You can't do the things that you wish. In other words, in the process of walking in the Spirit, you're going to experience conflict. This is where we got to realize that the scripture said, all right, this is scriptural. This is right. The Word of God says that this is what I would experience when I walk in the Spirit, that there would be a tussle. There would be opposition. So, you know, and I always like to say when I look at the scripture, that last part, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's two you's in there. You'll notice. The you, it's really talking about the spirit part of you. You know, your spirit, soul, and body. But there's that flesh part too. Walk in the Spirit, that's the spirit you, and you won't do the things that the flesh you wishes to do. There's two you's. So there's the conflict. Now we're talking about good denial, bad denial. I know there's bad denial out there, but there's good denial. There's scriptural, biblical, right, healthy denial that will bring healing and freedom in your life and will help you to find your life as Jesus promised it would. So as we're looking at denial in some of these things, I just want to take a quick look at, because what I said is the first part of, you know, good denial is there's an honest confrontation. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. That means I'm going to confront some things. So if I'm walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, what does the Bible go on to say here in this passage that the flesh is? It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So it bullet points them, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. All right, you get the idea. So you get that bullet point of what the flesh looks like. This is what we're dealing with. These are the urges that want to pull us in the wrong direction. Now, somebody, I can't remember where I got this, but from a source, it kind of further categorized these works of the flesh in this way. The sexual sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, sins of greed, drugs, idolatry, which is really covetousness, could be in the form of financial area, sorcery, pharmaceutical, that's all connected. Actually, the word sorcery is pharmakeia in the original Greek. Sins of temper, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. Again, we're just kind of recapping. And then finally, sins of drunkenness would be drunkenness, revelries. All right, so when you think of the flesh, though, a lot of times we think of the classic stuff. We think of the sex and the drinking and the parties and that kind of stuff. But when you look at the biggest issue of the flesh, the winner of the group is not the sex sins. It's not the party stuff. It's not even the greed and the drugs. It's the sins of temper. Now, as we're talking about good denial, bad denial, I'm not just talking about getting free from that bottle or that drug or that addiction. It's that too. I don't mean to say it's not. That's part of it. But sometimes, we're talking about honest confrontation. When we do evaluation of things that we have to confront, we'll look at that stuff. We'll look at the sex stuff and the greed stuff and the drunkenness stuff. But sometimes we don't always honestly confront sins of temper. It's all equally flesh. It's all equally addictive. It all equally wants to be scratched. But good denial is going to honestly confront and say, hey, am I giving, you know, you can give, you know, sometimes people, you can give a pass to any kind of sin, whether it's sexual or greed, you know, just you can blame, and if it wasn't for this, and I, you know, this, and or drunkenness, if it wasn't that situation, then I wouldn't be doing it. You know, we can find excuses to not properly confront things, even sins of temper too, anger. You know, and sometimes it's almost like this, where it's sexual sins. Okay, I got to deal with sexual sins or greed or drunkenness. I can see that, but sometimes the sins of temper we don't even recognize as flesh. We'll just say, no, that's my problem, or it's an issue, or it's that person's problem, or it's this issue. But we have to be able to say, there's flesh there. I'm being played by flesh. I'm being taken out and wigwagged by flesh. But an honest confrontation makes us look at all the works of the flesh and go, okay, what is it that I need to confront here, Lord? Because once I confront something, we'll get into it later, then you can successfully deny it. But you can't deny it until you confront it. This is good denial, all right? Good denial is not the ostrich sticking the head in the sand. There is a ruthless confrontation. When you read the scripture and the way the Bible reads, you know, it's not like people look at sometimes Christianity and say, oh, it's your religious crutch that you're kind of pie in the sky and ignoring, sticking your head in the ground. That's not the way our Bible reads. In fact, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, we see this as a great promise scripture in here, but this is a powerful passage of confrontation. It's forcing you to confront anything that would make you worried. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Confront everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So we're called to confront stuff. And again, good denial starts with honest confrontation. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to even be honest with ourselves. When we're dealing with flesh, it takes the Spirit of God to help us to be honest with ourselves and to look at some things and say, man, that's just hatred. That's just jealousy. You know? Outbursts of wrath. You know, you can have different things that are going on, and it's like, oh. You know, outbursts of wrath aren't always public for everybody to see. They can be private outbursts of wrath, or what I call inbursts of wrath sometimes, where you're dealing with things, or you're fighting, you're dealing with stuff like that. But to see through the problem to the flesh of it, acknowledge it, and say, God, this thing is eating my lunch. It's stealing my life. You said if I would deny myself, it won't steal my life, but I'd save my life. I'd find myself. Instead of having to be on this merry-go-round while life is going by, I'm going to get off it, and I'm going to walk in the good works you've ordained me to walk in. I'm going to find my life. So there's an honesty right here, an honest confrontation. And again, you'll know some stuff for sure. You can look at that list and pray about everything, you know, whatever that is. And sometimes it's going to be, Lord, show me. And this is not a spiritual witch hunt of stuff. But Lord, if there is something that I need to know, something that I need to pray about, show me by your Spirit. Show me by revelation. Why is that? Because when demonic wisdom is involved, there's confusion in every evil work. It's hard in that atmosphere to clearly see what to pray about. It's foggy. It's gray. It's mucky. Lord, I need your eyes. Even though it's yucky for me, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You see everything perfectly and clearly. And I'm just looking unto you as you are seeing it clearly. And I'm just saying, show me what I need to know out of that mess. Show me how to pray in that sense. But there's an honest confrontation where I'm saying, all right, show me what I need to know. And I know that I'm not above it. So we see that in a good, godly denial. It always starts with an honest confrontation. And here's a kind of a good example of a situation where this, you know, where you have somebody doing something like this. This is where with the story of Peter walking on the water. It says now, this is Matthew chapter 14. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. All right, so in this little familiar story, I just kind of want to break it down a little bit in terms of good denial, bad denial. First of all, Peter's to be commended at the first part of the story. He did exactly what Philippians 4:6 tells us to do. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. They got a scary, weird situation going on. Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, he's doing his Philippians 4:6, he's calling out to the Lord. Tell me to come to you walking on the water. In other words, I'm supplicating. I'm giving definite requests. I'm going to pray about this. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter got his word from the Lord. It was come, and he did. Got out of the boat, and he is walking on water. We know how the story ends, but hey, he's actually walking on water. He does this, and he's doing it supernaturally in response to a word. He prayed, he got a word, and he acted on that word, and he is supernaturally walking where he's never walked before. But as a fisherman, he sees some things. A strong wind and the waves. You could call those triggers. As a fisherman, he's got fishing stories he can tell. Probably good fishing buddies that went down in storms and all kind of history. When you're looking at wind and waves. When it comes to good denial, all right? Peter confronted his situation. But when it comes to good denial, would you say that did Peter deny the wind and the waves? Or did he give attention to the wind and the waves? He gave attention. He yielded to the wind and the waves. And yet the way Jesus talks to him, why did you doubt? In other words, Jesus' expectation was that Peter was going to walk on the water all the way to him. That was the expectation of our Lord. But Peter does something. Wind, waves. Now, all the guys in the boat can empathize with Peter. And any of us could empathize with Peter. Yes. Look at that. Wind, waves. It's loud. You can feel it. But you can see what Jesus wanted Peter to do. In the face of the wind, in the face of the waves, to just keep walking toward him. For Peter to do what Jesus wanted him to do, he would have had to deny the wind. He would have had to deny the waves. He would have had to deny his history with all that wind and the waves, because he had a word come that was greater than all that stuff. There was an expectation that Jesus had. Yeah, I know these are wind. I know these are waves. But I told you something. I told you to come. There's something greater than the wind and the waves. And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Jesus is the stopper of the wind and the waves. He didn't want Peter to problem solve the wind and the waves. He wanted him to be able to deny the wind and the waves and walk on that word. So what are we talking about? We're talking about there's an honest confrontation. Help me, Lord. But we're kind of segueing to the next point. There's a good denial, not only honestly confronts, but it spiritually responds. Good denial is going to spiritually respond to an emotional situation. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky right here. And this is where I want you to get the spirit of what's being said here. And I want you to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, okay? Because, man, I am right there. Like I've said before, if I could be two places at one time, I'd be here and there preaching to myself all the same. I'm not above anything. I am saying what I've learned, what I've grown, what I'm going through, what the Word of God says. But this is where we all can and need to grow spiritually. To begin to respond spiritually to an emotional situation. All right, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now take that scripture and go back with Peter on those wind and waves as he's looking at Jesus right in front of him. He's got a weapon. And you know that as he's feeling wind and he's seeing waves, there are arguments going on in his head. There are high things that are saying, I know Jesus said, come, but the wave is saying this, the wind is saying this. But what do we do with those weapons? We bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of what Christ has said. And this is where the Apostle Peter could say, yes, I know the wind, I have history with that wind, and we do go back. But he said, come. And I'm bringing my arguments and my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of what he has said. Come. I remember a minister once putting it like this. There was kind of a group of ministers, and they were dealing with some stuff. It was some real kind of a crisis situation, and one of the ministers just said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And one of them just said, you know what? We're just going to act like the Word of God is true. We all need to have those moments with our history and our stuff where we have to say, you know what? I'm going to act like the Word of God is true. I'm going to act like come really means come. And I'm going to act like Jesus has a genuine expectation that I can make it all the way to him through all this stuff. I can come. But what are you going to do? You're responding spiritually to an emotional situation because your weapons aren't carnal. They're powerful through God. So it's going to be responding spiritually. And this is where good denial gives yourself permission to feel like yuck without having to go into a victim complex, but keeping your eyes on Jesus and focus spiritually. Now, when we talk about even that concept, we'll get ditches. We'll either kind of get the tough guy ditch. Don't worry about your emotions. Emotions are nothing. Just shake off those emotions, you wimp. You know, kind of that, be tough, be a man of God, walk in faith. Don't do with your emotions. Emotions are real. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about I don't understand, I don't empathize, I don't care, I get it. I'm right there with you just as human and just as that I got to go through all that stuff too emotionally. But then there's kind of the other ditch over here too that gets so empathetic and poor. You're feeling that way? If you're feeling that way, that must mean, you know, that you're hurting in a way that, you know, I know the Bible says this, but, you know, it can cause you to begin to go down paths where all you're having to do, like Peter. You can say, poor Peter. You know, Jesus, you know, if Jesus would have said to Peter, oh, Peter, you poor thing, I just can't believe, you know, I understand, I get that. He said, no. He said, you have little faith. Now, this is where you got to catch things by the Spirit here, all right? All right, I am understanding both sides of this. But there can be a point here to where you're doing better than you think. And somebody can turn you into a place of self-pity. There's two kinds of sorrows the Bible talks about. There's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, and there's a worldly sorrow that leads to death. And when you're in that inflection point of when you can't do what you would, and you listen to the wrong kind of sorrow, it'll lead you to a place of death. But when you listen to a godly sorrow, it'll lead you to a place of repentance. And it produces a clearing of yourselves, a vindication. It clears. It does something good to you. But there is this inflection point. And I'm just talking about the world. Obviously, the world doesn't get the church. We get that. But I'm saying even in the church, you got to stay with the Word of God. Stay with what the Bible says. Don't let anybody turn your heart away and get you internal where you begin to justify the anger and the hatred and all that kind of stuff, because Jesus doesn't. He's a faithful high priest who sympathetically feels everything we went through, but he will never turn your heart and say, yeah, go after him. He'll never do that. He'll say, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You can't do that emotionally. That's a spiritual response. That's not a make me feel better. I'm not trying to feel better here. I want to be free. I want to be free from that thing that's binding me. And so here is the middle ground. You're responding spiritually to an emotional situation. If you're going to respond spiritually to an emotional situation, you got to believe God. You got to believe his word. You got to believe that word come. You got to believe that word. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. In other words, even though the storms and the wind and the waves of fear are just like that in your face, and Jesus is standing there saying, power, love, and a sound mind, you're walking toward that. You're walking toward what the Word of God has said. There's a good denial. There's a good denial of the wind. There's a good denial of the waves that Jesus expected from Peter as he was walking toward him. And I'm just saying, as we get into some of these areas of overcoming, we can preach the platitudes of spirit and flesh and all that, but where the rubber meets the road, where faith meets real life, is how you feel when you can't do what you would. And you're either going to spiritualize it in a way that's going to put you in a spiritual victim complex, or you're going to stand and respond spiritually. You're going to be having good denial, where you're saying, no, in Jesus' name, thus saith the Lord, it is written. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tenderhearted. I'm not doing it to feel it. It's a spiritual response. When Jesus was hungry after 40 days just fasting, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He wasn't saying that because he felt good. It was a spiritual response. What are we talking about? We're talking about good denial. Good denial is going to respond spiritually to a situation that is emotionally charged. If the weapons of my warfare were emotional, then I could respond emotionally. They're not carnal. They're powerful through God. They're spiritual weapons. And this is where, again, I just want to get this across. When I'm in good denial and I feel the wind and I feel the waves, all right? Now, it's not just that I'm not denying wind and waves. I got to have the word, right? It wasn't just that Peter was supposed to deny wind and waves. Jesus said, come. So here's my question to you this morning. When you honestly confront something, you got to find out in the Word of God, what is that word? What is my come word? What is the promise of the Word of God? And a lot of times, like you said, attitudinal stuff, forgiveness, different things like that. He said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's where you're going to be able to say, nope, I've forgiven it. And sometimes, you know, you're going to deal with things sometimes in a way where things will keep coming back to you and keep coming back to you. And you kind of wonder, you know, is this good denial, bad denial, or what's going on here? And a lot of times this is where we're going to grow. And Peter, like if Peter could have taken that test again and said, okay, Peter, get back in the boat. We're going to do this part two. Reset. Take two. Peter would do something differently. He'd say, wind and waves, goes, yeah. Come, there's Jesus. Yeah. These are private revelations we get in our own life. I'm describing a process here. But this is something that you get in your own life. Because we all miss it in different ways here, okay? Like I said, I'm not talking down. These are just situations that we get in. But every day the word doesn't change. Man. The Word of God just doesn't change. It stays the same. It reads the same because it's spiritual and its truths are spiritual. And my emotions keep bumping up against the Word. And at some point, I got to respond spiritually. I can't put stuff on myself emotionally to have to feel a certain way. I don't have to feel a certain way. I can just respond spiritually to an emotional situation in that sense. Romans puts it this way. Therefore, dear brothers, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. And again, when I'm saying what your sinful nature urges you to do, don't just be thinking the sex and the party and all that stuff. I'm saying think about the bitterness, the jealousy, the hatred and all. Those are urges. And we can get to some places where we don't have that, where we're free. I love that Jody was just saying about how we're not children of wrath anymore. We're children of love. The love of God's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. There should be something different about us. Things that just tick everybody else off in the world, they don't faze us. We get through it. Not because of anything of us, but because we don't have an obligation to our sinful nature. This world does have an obligation, they feel, to their sinful nature. I mean, when you're not born again, you don't have the Spirit of God. You need the gospel, ultimately. But that worldview is just a sinful nature worldview. You know, the old Shakespeare, to thine own self be true. Well, if all you're working with is flesh, then you're going to be trying to be true to flesh. It's wrong. But when you're a child of God, to thine own self be true. If any man is in Christ, his self is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And there's something that happens. I don't have to give in to everything my sinful nature urges me to do. Praise God. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who's called us by his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So there is going to be this process where we're going to be resisting. We're going to be resisting the devil. We're going to be taking authority. We're going to be taking authority over him. And then finally, this is what I want to finish with. Here's an example. As you're walking through something and as you're dealing with something, I just love this example from David and Goliath. We know the battle that David takes down Goliath. But what's so significant about this story is what happened right before he takes him down. This is what David said in the face of Goliath, who just got done cursing him by his own God and declaring to him that he was going to feed his flesh to the fowls of the air. This is how David responds. He said, "Then David said to the Philistine, Goliath, 'You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" This is a very public, epic moment of David and Goliath, but you are going to have some very private, epic moments as you're staring down some of your Goliaths and being able to declare, you know, you can't do this, you can't, poor thing, I just can't, how can this, in the name, God has said, he has said, come, he has said, forgive, he has said, pray, bless, do good, he has said, I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. These are epic battles because you have your Goliaths too. You know what your Goliaths are. You know what some of those things are. If you're going to take down Goliath, you got to honestly confront it. There's an honest confrontation of Goliath here. But there is a spiritual response. In other words, Goliath is still alive. The wind and the waves are still very active. But he's declaring something in the face of a very threatening Goliath at the time. This is a spiritual response to an emotional situation. And this is our pattern too. We believe, therefore we've spoken. It is written. There's going to be some of those private epic showdowns that you have, not in some, again, this is not some out of touch, tough guy, I don't care about my emotions or feelings, and it's not some, you know, every feeling, I got to feel good all the time. No, the Word of God divides my soul and my spirit. I'm living from my spirit. My soul takes directions from my spirit. So I can get in the spirit and say, no, I'm responding spiritually. I'm saying it is written. I'm declaring the word of God. I'm coming according to the word of God. So what are we doing? That's just a spiritual response. But here's the big deal, okay, because we kind of even know that. The final aspect of a good denial is that it's going to patiently overcome. Man, that David and Goliath is great. It goes pretty quick. There's going to be some things that are going to take some time in your life. There's going to be some patient overcoming in the process. Here again, we're revisiting the scripture, but be sober, be vigilant. You're going to resist him steadfast in the faith, but look at that bottom section. But may the God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It takes a while. You're going to learn to look past wind and waves. We're not born with that. That's where you're growing up spiritually. That's where you're trusting God. That's where that word come is bigger than all the wind and the waves. That's where my faith is going to grow as it relates to stuff, as I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him and then take that path that he directs me to have. So as we're patiently overcoming, we're going to have to realize that there is going to be a little bit of process in this. Here's another way Peter puts it. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves like us with the same mind. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but to do the will of God. There is a process of suffering in the flesh. There is a suffering when you can't do what you want to do. There's a suffering to look away from the wind and the waves. If Peter would have done that right, he wouldn't have been in denial of the existence of the wind and the waves. He'd be very aware of them. But he's denying their ability to control his life and to enter his conscience and dictate what he can and can't do. And I had a technical definition. Denial is just prohibiting bad feelings, emotions from having access to your conscious thinking or something like that. Some definition of that. And that's, you know, it can be good or it can be bad based on what you've done up front in terms of dealing with it. Because once you've got the word of God on something, you're not denying it. You're just going after that word. You're going after Jesus' word to come. And there's an overcoming as you do that. And this is where you're beginning to learn and know and hear the voice of God. I remember one time I was dealing with this. And you know how it is. Sometimes you're dealing with something in a situation. And, you know, I had a... You know, it was a situation where, you know, maybe let's just say it's a situation of forgiveness. You say, okay, I forgive. I've forgiven him. Drove a stake in the ground. Forgiven. All right. Got that done and out of the way. And it doesn't take much. There is, like we said, there's a lot of wind and waves that can re-trigger things and cause you to start sinking. After you successfully walked on the water, you're walking on water. You've got real peace. You've got real stuff going on. But those triggers can get in, affect your faith, where Jesus said, you have little faith. He had some faith, but it showed that his faith could be bigger than what it was. If there was a potentiality to grow, to be a water walker that can see past the wind and the waves all the way to the word of God. That's the beautiful challenge that we have. But there is a patient overcoming in that process as we do it. And as I was saying, like when I had a situation where, you know, you forgive and something's come back and maybe you just see something on the news that reminds you of something that somebody did to you and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you dream something later that night and all, you're stirred up, whatever. You know, triggers can happen to stir up the old thing, stir up the old root of bitterness to spring up all over again. There's different things that can happen like that. And I remember kind of being in that inflection point to where, you know, I'm trying to walk past this stuff and the imaginations and responding spiritually, but things will come at you. And they will be persistent, and they'll continue to come at you. And I just remember saying, Lord, help me. How do I really get free in this situation? Because not only is there that voice of, you know, remembering all the junk and the hurt and the pain and the bitterness, but there's the other voice. There's the accusing voice. The accusing voice that says, see, you never forgave. You can't forgive. You're one of those people that can't forgive. You don't forgive. If you'd truly forgiven, you would have absolutely no animosity or ill will or feeling at all toward that person anymore if you had truly forgiven. And I remember right being at that inflection point saying, Lord, help me. And the Spirit of God just spoke up to me right in that point, and he said, ask him for chapter and verse on that. I said, yeah. Where is that in the Bible? That if you really, truly forgive, you never have any more feelings of ill will or animosity ever again toward that person. If you truly forgave, if you think of how ridiculous that is, you'd have to say this. If you truly forgave, then Satan could never go about as a roaring lion and bring that up anymore. Satan would have no ability to remind you of your past or of your faults or your failures. No, if you know, if that's what it really meant to forgive, it's ridiculous. It's not in the Bible. It's not scriptural. It's part of good denial when you're dealing with stuff. Satan's trying to get you back off. He wants that root of bitterness to spring up and defile many. But you don't have to let it spring up. You can take authority over it again. And yes, we can let things spring up, but that doesn't mean it's too late. We'll go back and say, no, the word hasn't changed. They're still forgiven. They have been forgiven. I'm not responding emotionally. I don't feel like I've forgiven them. I go back to the center. I'm responding spiritually and say, no, that was forgiven in Jesus' name. Satan, you may not have forgiven it, but I've forgiven it in Jesus' name. I'm not going to get stirred up by that. It is gone. It is faith. It's wind. It's waves. It's good denial. It's good denial because you're holding on to the word of God. God has told me to forgive, and I have forgiven, and I'm going on. Praise God. That's what we need to do. That's how we respond. Now, obviously, if I get stirred up, and I cross lines, and I do sins and things, I got to get things right. No doubt about that. I'm talking about the internal battles that are still going on in my heart and mind as Satan's trying to bring things back. There's a good denial here. There's a good denial that allows us, that gives us permission to do that. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age. That's today. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for God. Again, the world looks at us, not indulging things that they know as fellow human beings that we would have urges and things to do, and throw the denial flag. And in that case, we have to say, yes, you're right. Throw the flag all day long. We are denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and we are living soberly and righteously in this present age with the help of God. That's what we're doing. But there is a good denying. There's a good denying of that ungodliness. And of course, you know, the scripture also tells us in connection with this too, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. There's a whole battle as we're endeavoring in good denial to be able to stay in the middle of the road, to understand that we're all going to experience this emotional push and pull over stuff. I can't do what I want to do. All right, I got a choice here. Am I going to feel sorry for myself because I can't do what I want to do? Or am I going to allow good denial to work? In other words, if there's something that I can't do that I want to do, first of all, whatever that thing is, I need to honestly confront it and say, Lord, I want to do this, but I can't. What do you say? What does your word say? Show me what your word says. What is your come word to me as it relates to this thing? I've got wind and waves regarding this thing. I want your come word to me so that I can come all the way over to you in the face of the wind and the waves and walk on it. Spiritually responding. I'm going back to what the word of God says. I'm going to go ahead and declare what the word of God says. It is written. The authority. My weapons aren't emotional. I'm not fighting emotional issues with emotional weapons. I'm fighting emotional issues with a spiritual weapon that it's not carnal. It's not natural to the natural man. It's, you know, the emotional realm, have you noticed that even in this world that we live in? I mean, the world has billions of dollars of production and special effects and glitz and glamour to make something that is clearly scripturally wrong look and seem and feel right. That's deception. We can't be fooled by our eyes. We got to go back to the Word of God, and we got to respond spiritually. It is written. This is what the Word of God says. And we patiently overcome. In other words, even though that thing keeps happening, you know what? When you're putting aside that work of the flesh that you've been so used to yielding to year after year, it's a little bit like you're breaking up, for lack of a better phrase. At the old relationship, you're breaking up. The old boyfriend, that old girlfriend. You've had a relationship with that area of the flesh, and you have history with that. But there's going to be a breakup. And it's hardest at the beginning. And it takes time and over time. You know, that phone might be ringing and it's that old relationship. You got to say, am I going to answer it or am I not going to answer it? It's wind and waves. Am I going to deny it or am I not going to deny it? I have no obligation to do whatever my sinful nature urges me to do. I have no obligation to that relationship. You know, it's not fun. It's not the old breaking up is hard to do, right? The old song, it's not an easy thing, or if you're an 80s guy like me, always something there to remind me. You know, it's, you've got that, and that's kind of the way it is, and that's what be triggers, you know, to that thing. But there's a breaking up, and it hurts, you're breaking off that relationship, and it hurts, and it's bad, but it's still good. It's the healthy, right thing. You've got to break it off, because it's not right, it's not healthy, it's not God, it's not clean. That's the same stuff you got to do with hatred, jealousy, bitterness, all those little relationships. You have a breakup. And you're not going to feel good for a while. And that's okay. There's a good denial. There's a good denial in it. And this is where you're going to draw near to God. Because you need comfort when you're feeling that. You need the throne of grace when you're feeling that. You know? It drives you into grace. It drives you into the grace of God. Again, I'm not just feeling bad, want to feel good. I am in bondage and I want to be free. It's a different paradigm. So I'm pulling into the grace of God. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Man, you look at your laundry list of attacks, you look at his laundry list of attacks in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead. I mean, he had a bunch of stuff going on. He said, Satan was just coming, like buffeting me, repeated blows over and over and over and over again. He said, God, take it away. He said, no. He said, what he said was this. He said, my grace is made perfect in your weakness. He said, oh, great, then I'm going to boast about it. I'm not going to feel, so when it was coming again, here comes another Judaizer attack. Instead of going, here we go again, poor me. He said, no, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to pull into the grace of God. I'm going to boast because when I am weak, then his grace is the strongest on me. When you're going through some of those attacks, when you're feeling the yuck the most and you're denying by faith, good denial, something you've confronted and you've got the word of God on it, I'll tell you what, the grace of God is resting on you in a way you don't even know with your feelings. It's resting on you in a way that's making you, as you patiently overcome, you're going to get free from some stuff. But it's the grace of God. It pulls you into the grace of God. If I'm going to get through this, I'm going to set my mind on things above because I need to. Because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And when you're dealing with wind and waves, you need life and peace to walk through the wind and the waves. It's going to drive you into Jesus. But I'm telling you what, there's a good denial. There's a good, honest, healthy denial that comes from confronting stuff, from being able to say, okay, I'm not going to try to emotionally checkmate an bad feeling. I'm going to spiritually respond to what God has said. I don't feel a thing. And I'm not trying to feel better. I'm just obeying that word, come. And my faith that has been little is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm trusting God to do things his way. This is where we need to walk in the counsel of the godly and not the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the godly will direct you to God. The counsel of the ungodly will direct you away from God and his word. We need God's counsel. We need his wisdom. We need to be able to grow up spiritually and trust him. He loves us tenderly to see his loving Father hand in all of this as we're growing up and as we're learning, praise God, to overcome. Well, Father God, we just thank you this morning that there's a grace and that there's a peace, Father, that you've given us, Lord, to be able to deal with situations in our life. And Lord, I just pray over this area. I just trusting the second sermon of your Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting this morning. But I just pray, Father, that the mercy, the compassion, the eyes, the spiritual eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would see some things, that we don't have to try to feel our way out of stuff anymore. But we, like David, can declare the word of God in the face of our Goliaths and walk out, walk on water, walk supernaturally according to your word. Father, I pray that over each one. Let's go ahead and make this a declaration of faith. If your heart can agree with these words, say, Dear Heavenly Father, you see my situation. You know my Goliaths. I'm ready to get out of the boat. I confront this situation. Show me your word. Show me your come word. And I will come out on the water. And I will walk toward you. In the face of the wind, in the face of the waves, I will deny them because I have a higher word. I have a weapon that takes every thought into captivity, not to what the wind is saying, not to what the waves are saying, but what you have said in your word. I'm going to respond spiritually. Show me what that means. And as I declare your word, I will break up with that flesh. There may be some painful days, but I'm going to let that phone ring and I spend that time with you. You're the healer of the brokenhearted. And I'm going to let you heal me as I walk all the way to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, a sermon like this, you know, on 50 minutes on a Sunday morning to handle this subject is big. So it's not something I can do. I'm kind of going some levels and I'm trying to be led by the Spirit as I'm doing it, but I'm trusting God's going to show you some specific stuff out of this, some things, some practical stuff that's going to help, you kind of get from here to there, whatever that next thing is. And he's going to guide you. He's going to guide you by his Spirit. But the cool thing about this stuff is you're walking through this. This is where you get to know God. This is where you get to walk out on the water and trust and know that his word is good. Amen. Praise God.